From the newsroom of the Oklahoman, I'm Ben Felder, and this is Oklahoman Unfolded. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd. On Tuesday, the Oklahoma Senate gave final legislative approval to an $8.1 billion spending plan that includes teacher pay raises, pay bumps for state employees, and builds on the common education funding increase the legislature appropriated last year. Having cleared both chambers of the legislature, the fiscal year 2020 general appropriations bill that outlines state spending for next year now heads to Governor Kevin Stitt's desk for final approval. Carmen Foreman covers the state capitol for the Oklahoman. And Carmen, this is a historic bill, the largest in state history, which kind of makes sense. Numbers always get bigger as we go along. But this was also big news because after years of budget shortfall, the legislature actually had some money to play with.
Exactly. And so, Republicans and Democrats alike in both chambers, even if they had problems with the bill or even if they voted against this spending plan, many of them recognized that this was a better budget than they had seen in a lot of years because the state actually had a surplus of about $600 million, which gave them money to spend on some of their top priorities like common education or public education in general.
Yeah, and so one of the big items on the to-do list for Governor Stitt coming into his first year in office is he wanted to increase funding in some areas. He also wanted to increase the state's rainy day fund, so kind of the savings account for the state, if you will, by $200 million. He got that. Republicans supported him in that. He only needed Republican support because they have the majority, but Democrats felt like that was kind of wasteful spending, that there was other areas that they could use that money for.
Right. So a lot of the debate from Democrats in both the House and the Senate centered around this $200 million that is going to go into savings. And ultimately, it'll push the rainy day fund over $1 billion. And so basically, the Democrats argued that, you know, while we haven't gotten state services for a lot of state agencies and for common and public education up to where it was a decade ago before the Great Recession, and budgets had to be slashed. So they argued that $200 million would be better spent going to public education or going to fund other state agencies now as opposed to sitting in a savings account to maybe be used later.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, to be fair, there were many Republican leaders at the beginning of the session that were kind of skeptical that they would put that much money into funding. You know, politics is the art of the compromise, and a governor who just won election is going to get some of the things that he asked for. Ultimately, why do you think Republicans were willing to, you know, give him that much savings? Because, you know, they're coming from districts, too, hearing the same thing where people want to see, you know, areas of state government that have had their budget slashed, reapportioned.
Right. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a Republican in the legislature who hasn't been, you know, up at the Capitol for a bad budget year, a budget year where they were in the red and they had cut as opposed to spend, or that they had to raise taxes in order to be able to spend. And so I think that kind of got them thinking, all right, well, you know, Oklahoma's economy is especially hurt by fluctuations in industries like oil and gas. And so they, I think, came around to the governor's way of thinking that, you know, putting away $200 is not a massive amount of what actually goes into it's an $8.3 billion budget, $8.1 billion spending plan. So it's a small fraction of that. And I think they all recognize that Oklahoma will see another economic downturn at some point. So it couldn't hurt to be prepared.
Yeah. And maybe for the governor, a lesson learned from Mary Fallon. And when she came into office, I mean, she liked to talk about how the rainy day fund had, you know, less than a dollar in it or something around there. And, you know, she was able to boost it back up, but then they had to spend it. And, you know, the second half of her term was marred by budget cuts. So for Stitt, if he's looking at his next 4 years or possibly 8 years, is probably thinking, hey, I don't want to be in the same situation. I don't want to have to cut education funding by hundreds of millions of dollars.
Exactly. He's trying to save a little now so he can prevent having egg on his face later or prevent having harder budgets down the line, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know you weren't here for last session. This was your first session to cover. But the last few, as you're well aware, has been marked by a lot of budget turmoil and political infighting. It just seems like this legislative session, while it's had its moments, has just been a lot calmer. I mean, I know you weren't here the year before, but does it still kind of seem like the case? I mean, they're talking about ending the session early, right?
Yes, they're talking about ending it on Thursday. Even just walking through the halls of the Capitol, in talking to various lobbyists or lawmakers or even other members of the Capitol press, they've all been joking, you know, oh, well, like, something's got to go wrong at the 11th hour, right? Because that's what always happens. And, like, they've all sort of expressed genuine surprise that things have come together so smoothly, and there hasn't seemed to be a major bump in the road yet.
Yeah. Well, real quick, you mentioned that they're looking to wrap up the session on Thursday, but they would actually mark the end of the session to the 31st, if I remember your reporting right. Why are they going to give themselves, you know, a little bit of leeway and not just end it on Thursday, but wait another week?
Yeah, so the rules change after session for how long the governor has to sign bills or veto bills, and he can basically pocket veto bills by not taking any action on them. But if they say, if the lawmakers go home on Thursday, but they basically say that the sine die is effective as of May 31st, then the governor cannot use that pocket veto. He would have to, because they will act on all the bills by the end of this week, and then he'll have 5 days to act on them, and so he can't just not do anything and veto them.
Yeah. Well, maybe a little bit more time for some drama to take place at the 11th hour, and we know you'll be up there covering it. So, well, Carmen, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Also making news in the Oklahoman. Flooding in Canadian County temporarily shut down a stretch of Interstate 40, damaged homes, and kept firefighters busy with water rescues. Calls from people stranded in swift water started about 2 a.m. Tuesday as heavy rain fell. The North Canadian River and creeks that surround El Reno started to flood low-lying areas, and people woke up to flooded homes. El Reno and parts of Canadian County had more than 3 inches of rain from midnight Monday to noon on Tuesday. That does it for today's episode of Oklahoman Unfolded. I'm Ben Felder. See you tomorrow.